Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our live broadcast on this beautiful Thursday. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the time in the studios now is 7:14. Yes, our live broadcast is today delayed because of a program in the Sai Kulwant Hall. If you have been hearing this program, it was on Sai Geeta. Yes, Sai Geeta refers to Bhagwan's beloved elephant, but Sai Geeta also means the song of Sai. And what is the song of Sai? The song of Sai is love. So appropriately, Bhagwan named this epitome of love as Sai Geeta. Because what is the use of our life without love for the Lord? What is the use of anything? What is the use of our singing? What is the use of our working? What is the use of our breathing if we do not have love for the Lord and to instill in us this feeling that Bhagwan had this beautiful saga played in front of us, the saga of Sai Geeta. As we ruminate on our love and as we think of the Lord, let us always remember to fill our life, our music, our bhajan singing with love. So let us begin, like we do on every Thursday, to learn a new bhajan. And as we begin this session, let us close our eyes for a moment and worship the beautiful form and the holy feet of the Lord. Let us offer our most reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that the dust of your feet purifies us and fills our every being with new energy, new spirit, and new inspiration to follow on your footsteps. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will learn a bhajan which Bhagwan himself has sung on many occasions. It is a bhajan adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Krishna. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. It is in the language Sanskrit. And like always, let us begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on and learn its raga, its rhythm, the meaning of its every word. And in the end, we will listen to a short excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, who had the chance to join his college way back in the 70s, and since then has been singing in the divine presence and also has composed many beautiful Sai bhajans. So we will hear him as we finish this program. For the moment, let's get familiar with the lyrics.
हे माधवा, हे मधुसूदना, दामोदरा, हे मुरलीधरा, हे माधवा, हे मधुसूदना, मनमोहना, हे यदुनंदना, दीनावना, भव भय भंजना.
So that is the lyrics, and now it's time to sing. You will hear Brother Ravi Kumar teaching us every line and Anirudh following Ravi Kumar as he sings line by line. So you too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung
in the scale G sharp Pancham.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
Damodara, He Muralidhara.
Damodara, He Muralidhara.
Damodara, He Muralidhara.
Damodara, He Muralidhara.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
Manamohana, He Yadunandana.
Manamohana, He Yadunandana.
Manamohana, He Yadunandana.
Manamohana, He Yadunandana.
Dinavana Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana.
Dinavana Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana.
Dinavana Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana.
Dinavana Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
So that was Ravi Kumar and Anirudh, giving you a feel of how this bhajan flows. And now, let us learn a little more about this composition. What are the swaras, which raga does it belong to? And Anirudh is here with us in the studios now to help us in this endeavor. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your reflections on the technicalities of this bhajan?
Saram Vishu, needless to say, this bhajan is truly divine composition.
Yes.
Short and sweet.
Yes.
And simple. That's what Swami expects. And
yes.
Of a bhajan. And
short, sweet and simple. That's what Swami is.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a beautiful bhajan. And I don't know exactly to which raga it belongs to. But the closest raga I can say is rag Shuddha Sarang.
Okay.
It belongs to one of the raga in the family of sarangs.
Yeah.
So Shuddha Sarang, I was just going through internet to see what are all the swaras which make up that Shuddha Sarang. And I was hearing, in fact, Ustad Bismillah Khan's Shehnai recital. Beautiful audio in YouTube. And I recommend all listeners to go to YouTube and type Ustad Bismillah Khan Shuddha Sarangi.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful illustration of
the
raga.
Yeah, beautiful feel of the raga. And since I told you I was going through the net, I came across 2-3 versions of Arohana and Avarohana, and I have not learned this raga truly.
Yes.
So I'll just give you a feel of the raga, what all notes are there in the raga.
Whatever you could explore.
Yeah. And as far as the bhajan is concerned, maybe the first few lines may little deviate from the raga, but the notes are contained.
Okay.
But the way the notes flow to make that raga, that comes only in the maybe the last line or last two lines of the bhajan.
So the last two lines of the bhajan are very pronounced in terms of the raga.
Yeah. And when we do the line by line swaras, that time we'll clearly get to know the raga.
So please tell us the aro and avro.
Yeah. In Shuddha Sarang, you have
Ni sa re ma pa ni sa sa ni dha pa ma pa ma ma re sa ni sa.
This is one version of the Arohana Avarohana.
Okay.
So in this raga you have basically
Ni sa re ma, ma is tivra ma.
Okay.
Ni sa re ma pa ni.
Ni is shuddh ni, ni to.
Sa ni dha.
Dha is shuddh dha. That's what. In the other version, I didn't find this dha.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know, some people sing Shuddha Sarang in a way that without dha, or maybe we can consult somebody else who is an expertise in Hindustani and Carnatic music to actually let us know the Arohana and Avrohana. But right now I'll just give you the feel of the raga, what
sure.
all notes are contained in the raga.
Yeah. So basically as you are saying in the Avroh, what you could find out is dha is there in some versions and in
yeah.
some versions dha is not there.
Correct.
Sa ni dha pa ma pa ma ma re.
That's the beauty of both the tivra ma and the normal ma.
Ma pa ma ma re.
Re is shuddh.
Yes.
Sa.
So this is shuddh sarang. And one more way which I just found, I'll share it with you.
Ne za re ma pa ni sa ni pa ma pa ma re sa.
In the previous version we had
sa ni dha pa ma pa ma re.
It's a beautiful raga, very vibrant and energetic and very bright raga, I can say.
Yes. Okay, so as you mentioned, once we do the swaras, we will get a very good idea of how we see the play of Shuddha Sarang in
yeah.
this bhajan. So let's move on and let's take every line of this bhajan and do the swaras.
Sure.
He Madhava He Madhusudana Nisa Mamare Sasa Nisa da nisa.
Nisa ma ma re sa sa nisa da nisa.
Damodara he murali dhara. Nisa ma 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 pa ga sa ga re ma re sa ni.
Nisa ma 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 pa ga sa ga re ma re sa ni.
The next two lines which we'll be singing.
Mana mohana
and
dinavana.
I feel they are more related to, belong to Shuddha Sarang.
Okay.
Because you have both the ma's, tivrama and the other ma, and the way the notes go along, it also belongs to the Shuddha Sarang.
It more defines the Shuddha
Sarang raga.
Okay.
Whereas in the first few lines, just know what we discussed.
Yes.
So, we'll do the next two lines.
Yeah, sure.
Mana mohana he yadunandana. Papare re sa 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 sari ni sa ni sa re ma ma re.
Papare re sa 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 sari ni sa ni sa re ma ma re.
Dinavana bhava bhaya bhanjana. Ni sa re ma pa ma pa. Papa mare ne re sa.
Ni sa re ma pa ma pa. Papa mare ne re sa.
And any other bhajan in this raga come to your mind, Anirudh?
There are plenty of bhajans in the sarang family.
Yes.
But in this Shuddha Sarang, I guess very few of them are there. Like,
Ayodhya Vihari Shri Rama Rama Rama.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Bhajan in this raga.
Paritishwara Shri Sai Prabhu.
It also belongs to the feel of Shuddha Sarang.
Yes. Amazing. So let's move on to the beat. Arvind Sai is here with his Kanjira.
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat.
Yes.
And the count is 1. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
He Madhava, He Madhusudana.
Wonderful. So it's short bhajan, but very sweet. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Salam. So now that you're familiar with the tune and the beat, let's move on to the third most important aspect of bhajan singing after raga and tala, and that is bhava. Because only when we sing a bhajan with feeling, steeped with devotion, that it would become an offering to the Lord. And for us to immerse ourselves in the feeling of the bhajan, we need to understand its meaning. So let's take every line and see what is conveyed in this composition. We begin with the first line.
हे माधवा हे मधुसूदना
The word he occurs twice in this line and it is a way of calling out to someone endearingly. The word Madhava is a name often used for Lord Krishna and it comes from Ma and Dhava. Ma refers to not only Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of all types of prosperity and wealth. Ma also refers to Prakriti or nature, and in another context it also means illusion or Maya. So Madhava has all these meanings. Madhava is the one who is the master of Mother Lakshmi, the master of nature, the master of illusion. On February 14th, 2009, Bhagwan went to Mudanahalli to lay the foundation stone for the fourth campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Earlier, on November 23rd, 2008, Bhagwan announced on his birthday discourse that he has decided to start a new campus in Mudanahalli, which would be affiliated to the university, Satya Sai University. When Bhagwan delivered his discourse on the auspicious occasion of February 14, 2009 in Mudanahalli, he declared that the campus would be inaugurated in 1 year, overcoming all obstacles, because it is his divine sankalpa. It is his divine will. Swami further said that the entire project would be borne by him alone, and he lovingly advised the patrons not to accept any money from anyone outside. And then stressing this, Swami said, when Lakshmi resides in my Vakshasthala, why do I need anyone's financial assistance? What this means is, Bhagwan is saying, when Lakshmi resides in the heart region, why do I need anyone else to support us financially? It just came spontaneously from Bhagwan on that day. And it was such a direct manner in which Bhagwan revealed how he is truly the master of Mother Lakshmi who resides in his heart. Moving on, the word Madhusudana also is an appellation of Lord Krishna, and it's one of the thousand names of the Lord in the sacred Vishnu Sahasranamam, and it means he who slayed the evil demon called Madhu. Now Madhu is a term used in Vedanta or philosophy to refer to the fruits of actions. Since the Lord destroys the effects of the fruits of actions of those who meditate on him, the Lord bears the name Madhusudana. He is the one who can annihilate our karma. Bhagwan also says that Madhu means something which is sweeter than honey. And for humans, what is sweeter than honey? It is the ego. And in this context, Swami says, it is only the Lord who can completely destroy our ego, and it is for this reason that he is called Madhusudana. Bhagwan says that the ego of human beings, which is very sweet, can only be removed by something which is even sweeter. And what is even sweeter? There is no one and nothing sweeter than the Lord in this world. So he is Madhusudana because he enables us to let go our ego and go forward on the path of attaining that which alone is the sweetest in the world. And that is a divine love. During a discourse delivered on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami in 1963, Bhagwan explained how we should have no pride even in our devotion to the Lord. And he narrated an incident from the life of Lord Krishna. There was a Gopika by name Suguna. One day when Krishna was with his consort Satyabhama, Krishna pretended to have severe stomachache. And in spite of all the remedies that Satyabhama tried, nothing brought relief to Krishna. And as Bhagwan was narrating the story, Swami suddenly said, "Of course, it was all acting. It was superb acting, such as the paralytic stroke that I had for a week previous to the Guru Purnima recently." Swami was referring to the stroke that he had taken upon himself in July 1963. So Swami said, Satyabhama did not even admit Rukmini, the Lord's other consort, into the house to inquire about Krishna's health. But Rukmini found Suguna pining outside the door in great agony, looking at the illness of the Lord. And Rukmini gave Suguna all the articles that she wanted to send for Krishna. And he asked her to somehow go inside. And the moment Krishna saw Suguna, Krishna welcomed her and made her sit at his feet. Krishna ate the fruits that Suguna had picked up from Satyabhama's own garden. And suddenly when Krishna ate those fruits, he said his stomachache is gone. Bhagwan said, it was Suguna's agony at the Lord's condition and her simple, sincere devotion which was so effective. There should be no artificiality in your attachment to the Lord. No pretension, no pride, no egoism. Nothing should soil the freshness of the flower that you offer to the Lord. Satyabhama protested when Krishna accepted the fruits because he had brushed them aside as tasteless when Satyabhama herself offered them earlier as the precious product of her persevering gardening effort. Swami explained this further and said, these fruits were tasteless earlier because it was filled with the pride of Satyabhama. But when the simple rustic Suguna picked them from the ground and saturated them with her devotion, they became tasty and they became attractive for the Lord. Because the Lord cares for the bhava, not the bahya, for the inner feeling and not the outer show. The only love that will not allow pride and envy to interfere with its purity is love for God. So when we sing this line, Hey Madhava, Hey Madhusudana, we call out to the Lord, who is the master of all types of prosperity, who is the master of nature, who is the master of illusion, and He is the one who can subdue our ego completely. The one who makes our love for Him as pure as it can be. Let's move on to the second line.
Damodara, he Murali Dhara.
The first word here is Damodara. One way of interpreting this name is that the word Dama refers to a rope and Dharam means belly. So this name, Damodara, refers to Lord Krishna being tied by a rope to an urn by his foster mother Yashoda when he was a young child. When Mother Yashoda found the little Krishna becoming too naughty with his pranks and mischief, she decided to bind him with a rope to an urn. And the Lord too played along and allowed himself to be bound thus by the Divine Mother. But Swami says the symbolic meaning of this episode is that he was not bound by a rope, but he was bound by the pure love of Mother Yashoda. Swami says similarly, the Lord will submit himself and even get bound if our love for him is that pure and that sublime. The other word Murali Dhara comes from Murali, referring to the flute that Lord Krishna plays on, and Dhara means to hold. The Murali or the Indian flute made from bamboo reed is what Lord Krishna played on his lips, and out came divine tunes mesmerizing the gopalas, the gopikas, the cows, the trees, the plants and the entire creation. That flute rested on the Lord's lips and emanated such soulful music. And what is the qualification for this blessing conferred on the flute? Swami says, the flute is simple. It is straight and it is hollow with no ego. It is straight with no crookedness and it is simple with absolutely no ostentation. So there again, the Lord is telling us how every time we sing Murali Dhara, we have to pray to the Lord to make us egoless, to make us simple, yet elegant, light and beautiful, just like the flute. The late Mr. Victor Kanu was one such flute in the hands of our Lord Sai Krishna. In 2001, when Father Charles Ogada earnestly prayed in the interview room asking Bhagwan to come to Africa, Swami's face brightened up with a beautiful smile, and then came the revelation. Swami said, I am already in Africa. I am working through Victor Kanu. And what kind of an instrument of the Lord was Kanu? Several years ago, when the book Satya Sai Baba, God Incarnate, authored by Victor Kanu, was first released, Swami saw a boy reading that volume in the Mandir portico, and he asked, Hey boy, what is it in your hand? The student then lifted the book and showed it to Bhagwan. Swami took one look at the book and instantly said, He's a good man. It's a good book. Victor Kanu was God's good man through whom the Lord wrought miracles. The most astounding of them all is the Satya Sai Miracle School of Zambia, where Bhagwan worked through Victor and created beacons of character and goodness out of students who were earlier absolute economic and social rejects of society. Father Charles Ogada says, Victor admitted the zeros and transformed them into all-round heroes. He loved the children with the same passion with which he loved the Lord. Truly, he was for us the ambassador of God who erased the gap we create between the human and the divine. And as for Victor, he used to always pray, O Lord, use me as your instrument. O Lord, use me as your instrument. And Swami responded, he said, Yes, yes, I will use you as my instrument. And Victor says, What else can I say about Satya Sai Baba other than that he is God? He is the God of my forefathers. The God to whom all Africans have been praying from time immemorial, He is Satya Sai Baba. He is truly God incarnate. So in this line, Damodara, He Muralidhara, we call out to the Lord who gets bound by the rope of our pure love for Him. He is the one with the most magical flute on His lips, who mesmerizes our beings and nullifies our ego. Let us move on to the third line.
हे माधवा हे मधुसूदना
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let us delve a little more into the meaning of Madhava. The name Madhava also means the Lord who is experienced by the seeker who has stilled his mind through Mona, through Dhyana and through Yoga. This is supported by a phrase in the Mahabharata which says that Ma stands for Mona or silence, Dha stands for Dhyana or meditation, and Va stands for Yoga or spiritual practices. The Lord is called Madhava because He Himself is endowed with Mona, Dhyana and Yoga. He is the one who silently observes the physical, mental and intellectual activities of all beings. He is the embodiment of silence, the embodiment of meditation. He is the ever non-interfering observer, the eternal witness. We bow down to such a Lord reverentially when we sing this line, He Madhava, He Madhusudana. Let's move on to the next line.
Manamohana he yadunandana
Manamohana can be split into mana meaning mind and mohana which means to enchant. The word yadunandana can be split into yadu and nandana. Yadu refers to the dynasty in which Lord Krishna was born. The dynasty is named after the king Yadu. In one discourse during the summer course of 1995, Bhagwan revealed that the Yadavas or the descendants of Yadu were divine beings born on earth to herald the avatar of Krishna. Swami said that it was sage Narada who disclosed this to the wicked king Kamsa and warned him that he would meet his death at the hands of the eighth born child of his sister Devaki, the mother of Krishna. And Nandana means sun. It also means to gladden. So Yadu Nandana means the son who was born in the lineage of Yadu. It can also mean the one who delighted everyone in the lineage of Yadu. In the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, the author, Mrs. Vijayamma, writes about the wonderful Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna celebrations during the Dasara festival in 1961. Various sacred rituals, talks by eminent Vedic scholars and cultural programs added to the splendor of the celebrations during that year. Among the various talks was one by a great scholar named Kalluri Veerabhadra Shastri. His expounding of sacred texts was something that people were extremely fond of in those days. He was an expert in lecturing on the Bhagavatam, that is the stories of the glory of Lord Krishna and his various incarnations. During his talk, the scholar described how when Krishna played the flute, wherever they were, cowherds would leave their chores and come running to him. The gopikas or the cowherd maids who had been serving dinner to their husbands would suddenly run to him. Mothers who were suckling their babies would also rush to him. While churning buttermilk, ladies would abandon the job halfway and run to him. They had no awareness of their bodies. That is how mesmerizing was the music of Lord Krishna. And when the scholar, Mr. Shastri, was describing all this, even though he was saying all this, he himself seemed to doubt the possibility of such a devotion to the Lord. And Bhagwan, who was seated next to him, noticed this. And Swami laughed suddenly and he looked at the loosened hair of the scholar and he told him, "First, tie your hair in a knot." In fact, his dhoti too had slipped a bit. And Mr. Shastri was not aware of any of this until Bhagwan brought it to his notice. And he came rushing towards Bhagwan. He fell at Bhagwan's feet and he slapped himself on his cheeks and said, "Swami, I am not ashamed of admitting my error. In spite of talking so long about the gopikas, I did not believe it myself, but you have proved it true now. You have opened my eyes and you have made me understand the power, the magic, the mesmerizing effect of the Lord's love. I studied the Bhagavata as a sacred text, but today I have in my heart the imprint of the inner meaning so that we can better ourselves and know ourselves better." So in this line, "Mana Mohana He Yadunandana," we bow down to the one who enchants our minds and hearts, the Lord who chose the Yadu dynasty to incarnate when he took up the Krishna avatar. Let's move on to the last line.
Dina vana bhava bhaya bhanjana.
Dinavana means people who are weak and forlorn, who are distressed and depressed. The second word is bhava, which refers to worldly life, and bhaya means fear. The last word is bhanjana, which means to destroy. There was a student who was studying in the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's university. His father had passed away under very tragic circumstances and his mother managed to somehow fund this boy's education. But at one point in time, the state of affairs in the family became so pathetic that the mother wrote to the registrar of the university saying, "I do appreciate that the tuition you are giving to my son is totally free, but with dismay I have to convey that I don't have the money to pay even the nominal hostel fees that you charge for my boy to live in the hostel." And so she requested, "Is there any way you could excuse our family from paying even the hostel fees?" Now the registrar took this letter to Bhagwan because Swami, as the chancellor, had the power to approve and waive the hostel fees. So when Bhagwan heard the condition of the family and the mother's prayer, Swami decided that he would give this scholarship personally to the student. And that evening, Bhagwan had come out for darshan at 2:45 p.m. He was in the Saikulvanth hall and he had blessed all the students who had come with their birthday trays. And then Bhagwan had gone into the interview room. This student, who was actually in the Vrindavan campus, had come to Prashantinilayam. But by the time he came to Mandir, it was already 4 p.m. because his classes had concluded that day at 3:45 p.m. And by then, Swami had already blessed all the boys who had come with their trays. And this boy, he sat behind Brother Harishankar. Harishankar is another alumnus who now works in the Central Trust. And Hari thought, how does this boy fancy the chances of Swami coming and blessing his tray now, because he's come so late and Swami has already finished his round of blessing. But wonder of wonders, just as this boy settled down in his place, the interview room door just flew open suddenly and Bhagwan walked out with quick steps. He stood there in the hall and he called out to this boy and said, "Why did it take you so long to come?" And for a moment, Hari Shankar wondered if Swami was upset with the boy, because Swami seemed very agitated. But then, the next moment, Hari Shankar saw that Swami called the student and then the registrar, and he spoke to them something in a very animated fashion. And only later, Hari Shankar got to know what Swami had declared to the registrar that evening. Bhagwan had said, "I want to take care of this boy from top to toe. He is mine and I will take care of him completely." And that evening, Swami was just showing that restlessness to shower his love and grace on that boy. He wanted to assure him that he need not fear anything and anybody and anymore about anything in his life. That is the compassion of the Lord. And that is the Lord we praise when we sing this line, "Dina Vana Bhava Bhaya Bhanjana," the one who destroys our fears and worries, especially of those who are distressed and oppressed. So that was the last line, and with that we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let us now proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan. You will now hear the bhajan sung in the divine voice of Bhagwan. This program, here is an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam from Sikkim, a gifted singer and magnificent composer of many Sai bhajans. Here he shares his reflections and one of his musical moments with Bhagwan.
Nandalala Shyam Sundari Nandalala. You know, the story behind this bhajan is, once I was late and I was sitting there for darshan outside, and Swami was giving darshan, and Radhe Govind Krishna Murari, that bhajan was going on, And then Swami was, he was maintaining that rhythm and walking. And then when the next bhajan was sung, the only bhajan that I have ever heard in 10 matras, and when that bhajan was sung by Sanjeev, and then Swami just shifted his stand and he was again walking on that beat. So actually this was transfixed in my mind, you know, like I could never forget that. The way he took two steps forward, and when one lady fell on him and scratched his lotus feet, then he took two steps backward. So this entire, you know, movement was exactly on the beat of that bhajan. So that whole regal splendor of Shri Krishna with Kaustubh and Banamala, that was the thought which was so powerful in my mind, in my imagination. And this bhajan was an outcome of that. Kaustubh dhari banmala dhar shamal madana gopala radhe shyam radhe shyam sai shyam sai shyam radha madhav madana gopala mathura nath gopala padti nandan hriday sanjeevan shyamal madana gopala shyamal madana gopala nandalala shyam sundar nandalala. It's just the feel was like, you know, he's playing his flute and in the valley it's echoing, and nandalala la la. That was the feel in my mind when the bhajan was being composed.
So beautiful. And the way you sang it is very different.
It's so powerful and so beautiful. I have forgotten one bhajan which I have shared already before, I think, when I was still a student here as a PhD scholar. And I was going, returning to the ashram. And on the way, Pandit Shamsri Vastoji was coming. He was heading for the school where he was teaching Hindi. And he told me that, have you ever thought of a combination of Malhar and Jaijavanti?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the inspiration to go back, just, you know, forego my lunch, go back to the institute, sit in the foyer, and with a harmonium that day, just playing around, and all of a sudden, the words and the bhajan, everything started flowing, and I just wrote it down, and that bhajan Sanjeev Barbora sang before Bhagwan, and it's etched in my memory the way he sang, and Swami accepted his own song, his own composition. The song was this. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Vihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Vihari. Madhuban Sanchari Pati Bihari. Madhuban Sanchari Pati Bihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Bihari. Shyamal Sundar Mayur Mukut Dhar Pankaj Lochan Madhav Mohan. Pankaj Lochan Madhav Mohan. Madhubana Sanchari Parti Bihari. Madhubana Sanchari Parti Bihari. Giridhar Nagar Kunj Vihari.
Even though we have heard this many times, but you know, always I think when the composer sings it, it's always different. Because at every line, the bhava that you express is very different. And I think that comes only because you could relate to the bhajan 100%.
But sometimes, as I told you...
Like, yeah, there are people who do more than what you had also imagined.
Because I used to listen to S. Kumar.
Yes.
I had asked S. Kumar to sing. In fact, that Ramaya Ram Bhadraya, that Raghukula Bhushana, S. Kumar sang it before Bhagwan. And the way he sang was, again, you know, much more than 100%. And it was so beautiful. And even today when I feel that there is no substitute for S. Kumar when it comes to this beautiful bhajan that he sang. And, you know, like Lakshminarayan Kote singing a particular bhajan. That last time I was telling some bhajans to Ashwath, and then he was singing it, you know, past 100%. So sometimes it's not that every time that you sing it and you feel it, but that bhava definitely, the flow of the bhava is there.
Yeah.
very natural when you are singing it, because you can relate to that moment and that
with that feeling.
So that was Sonam, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, hailing from Sikkim. He joined Bhagwan's college way back in the 70s and had the chance to sing in the divine presence all through his student years and even after that. Even till this day, he composes many beautiful bhajans and is very active in the Sai movement, especially in the dissemination of the Sai bhajan movement. And with that, we've come to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please, as always, send us your feedback and comments. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan with utmost prayer and gratitude.
And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8 o'clock and it's time to move on to our next program based on Bhagwan's discourses. Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam. And before me, I see a special guest. So you're going to have a treat today on this episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam. Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over, so keep listening. Our Thursday Live goes on. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.